Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 6th, 2014. And with me today, I have our own personal walking Wikipedia of security knowledge, Kelly Gumont.
Hi, Jeff.
I hope you're doing well.
I am. My brain's a little full after tracking some stuff down yesterday for all of that, but not too bad.
Awesome. Well, and thank you for taking the time to track all that down and fill your head even more.
Yay!
Yeah. Also, the man with the glint in his eye and the magical smile, John Martellaro.
And the golden gun. Yes.
And the golden gun. But,
good morning.
But I thought that was code, so I didn't mention it.
It's not.
Oh,
just
okay.
Just a Bond fan.
Just a really nice gun. That's awesome. Okay, I thought the first thing that that we could take a look at today is the news that Apple is reportedly going to have a media event on September 9th, and that this media event will be to introduce the new iPhone. And Apple has not actually confirmed that this is happening yet, but we have multiple big-name sources that are all concurring on this, which makes it very likely that that I'm doing air quotes, Apple leaked some information,
mm-hmm.
and that we really will have this media event on September 9th. And I'm curious to hear what you guys think about the timing and the potential announcements.
On the timing, I think it represents Apple's ability to under-promise and over-deliver once again. I think it represents the fact that all these supply chain rumors about issues with manufacturing and minor problems with the Sapphire display are all just that, kind of blown out of proportion for the sake of news. And Apple has a very capable manufacturing system and the ability to deal with minor technical issues in production. And I believe that Apple will bring to bear all of its might and expertise to deliver a Sapphire display iPhone on September 9th.
You said
with a 4.7-inch display.
With a 4.7-inch display? Okay. And you said under-promise, over-deliver. I call that the Scotty principle.
Of course.
Yes. And yeah, and I'm thinking it will be the bigger screen, the 4.7-inch screen. I'm also thinking that's the only larger screen size we'll get. And concerning my track record, that means that Apple, as of today, will now scramble to also produce a 5.5-inch version just to spite me.
Just because of that, yes.
Yep, just because of that. So if there's a particular product you guys want to see Apple release, just have me talk about how that is not going to happen. And it's like a Pavlovian reflex. Apple will go out of their way to make it just to prove me wrong.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I'm going to speculate that we may get more than iPhones at this event. I think we'll hear more about iPad because those two seem to go together now in the media events anyway. So I think we'll hear more about whatever the next revision of iPad is going to be.
You know, I'm not completely convinced that we'll see an iPad announcement, although if it happens, I will not be surprised. I think we will get to see the iPhone 6 with all of its Sapphire glory, as John said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Apple will have already given what they will do is they will give us the announcement for iOS 8 ship date, because they'll be telling us the iPhone ship date, and mm-hmm. I think they'll do just as they've done in previous years, where the new version of iOS rolls out a couple days before the new iPhone actually hits store shelves.
Right. Uh-huh. I think so too.
And Brian brought up an interesting point, which is that the timing of this announcement is even earlier than previous, mm-hmm. yeah, I guess like the past couple years, and that maybe Apple has chosen to do an early September announcement because they have other big announcements planned for later in the month or in October.
Well, you'll notice I didn't mention that we're going to hear anything about what Apple has available for people to wear. that's why I think the iPad will become part of this announcement. I think it's, we used to call it the iPod event, the thing that happened in October where we got new iPods, because it was its own thing. It was totally separate. It was it's sort of its own thing unto itself. And then eventually they moved the iPhone announcing to the same time as the iPod event. And now the iPod event is the iPhone event. And I think it's going to have to change into being the iOS event, because I think that we're going to get all the iOS out of the way to move on to something else.
I agree with Kelly. I think it's reasonable to include the iPad. And the reason is because there's got to be some lead time for the holiday shopping season. And I don't think Apple would want to delay the iPad announcement much later or have scheduled the shipping date to be much later, because you know, around Halloween, people start thinking about Christmas, and so I can see combining those two events. The iWatch, on the other hand, certainly will be a separate event.
And I'm totally with you there. The iWatch, I would,
which plays into Brian's theory of it's sooner because they have more stuff to say.
Exactly.
If the iWatch announcement happened at the same time, I'd be absolutely stunned. I don't see that occurring, simply because this is going to be a new category Apple is going into, and they want to make sure that all the focus of the media event is on that.
So what are the odds, you guys, if we zoom this out to become an iOS event, which is sort of what I think it's going to end up being, Apple TV also runs iOS. What do you think the odds are that they're going to mention anything on that front?
I think the Apple TV is really fracked.
Because there's a part of me that really... And I know, and I look forward to your letters, but there's a part of me that really would like just once for Tim to be like, oh, one more thing.
I don't think that's
good. Oh, how I miss it. I know. But there's a little part of me that really, I mean, the logical part and the sensible part both team up and shout that part down. But there's still a part of me that would like for him to go, oh, one more thing. You know, new Apple TV later or whatever. And I really want for there to be something interesting that happens to the Apple TV, be it software or be it hardware. I would really like for that to be a thing.
I have heard about a next generation, basically Apple TV, you know, Gen 4. Mm-hmm. So is that where we are, Gen 4? Because we have
I have a 3
two,
right
two
now.
And 3, yeah. I have a 2. So I have read about a next Gen 4 that has iOS 8 and apps and sort of a Jonathan Ive-esque toning down of the icons and something like that.
We've seen the beta software get an update for the Apple TV, which is a bit leaner and meaner than what we have now.
But it still looks a lot like what we have today.
It's still front row.
I think that's all we can expect right now. This is not the next generation. As I call it, Apple's next generation TV project. This is just hardware and software.
I don't expect Apple to do a big Apple TV announcement until they have a major change.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think new hardware warrants its own event, but I think we might hear something about the software. Maybe this beta is part of adjusting the UI to look more like iOS 8 and by extension Yosemite, and that there might be other goodies in the pipeline for that, aside from just dropping the channels in arbitrarily, which they seem fond of doing.
And Kelly, home automation element, perhaps?
I really want for that to be part of the software, but I think it's going to be new hardware.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree with you, Kelly.
Because I just don't – and the reason that I think this is because when I looked at the – when I was looking up the specs when I was playing hardware competition, when I was building the table of the Fire TV versus Apple TV versus Roku, or as I was calling it, and Chromecast, or as I called it, Fire TV versus all the other thingies that I have hooked up to televisions at my house – I do have the other three. The thing about it to me that was surprising was just on paper the specs of the app, of the current generation of Apple TV compared to what else is out there. Even my Roku box, I think, is higher powered than what the Apple TV is, and I think the Apple TV is going to need more oomph if I'm going to have Siri be the boss of all the lights in my house and what have you. So,
well, then there's those people who may be wanting to get 4K delivered via Netflix.
Those people are crazy people.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have Netflix and you have the bandwidth and you have the TV that supports it and you're on the mm-hmm. list to get 4K TV, maybe 4K is something Apple's thinking about in the next generation hardware.
That could be. We already have it in the Mac Pro, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All right. So before we run out of time, I'll summarize there, and then we'll hop on to the next topic. So it sounds like we're all in agreement, definitely an iPhone announcement on September 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly iPad with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then iWatch following a few weeks later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, now we just need to wait for September 9th and see what Apple announces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the other topic I wanted to look at, and this is actually a 2-day project for you, John. You talked about your favorite features from all of OS X, like from all the different versions. And yes, I'll make sure we have links in the show notes so that everyone can see both those pieces. And I just thought it would be kind of cool, real quick, before we wrap up, to hit some of the things that we all thought have been the coolest or our favorite features from OS X over the years.
Yeah, last week I was writing some articles about tips in Yosemite and for those people who are doing the beta testing. And then I started thinking, you know, thinking back over the years, what were some of our favorite features that stood the test of time? And what were some of the things that turned out to be gimmicks? Because as we know, in every release, Apple loads it up. You know, it says over 150 new features, and then you sit back and you think about in the past, and you go, "You know, did I include 150 new features into my workflow? Did it? But what really changed my life?" You know, and then you figure out that a lot of these things are just, you know, adding to the bullet points and fluffy stuff and some gimmicks, and then we recall back through the years the things that really changed the way we work. So the title of the article was "The Most Enduring and Endearing Features of OS X Throughout the Years." Part one, I took us up through Snow Leopard, and part two, I took us up through Yosemite. And, of course, there wasn't a whole lot going on in the early years. Apple was sort of getting Cheetah, Puma, and Jaguar sort of organized and straightened out and dealing with speed issues and things like that. We started getting into Leopard. We started getting into the modern era features. We got into Time Machine. We got into Quick Look. We got into Boot Camp and things like that. So Leopard was one of the major releases. Snow Leopard was sort of a cleanup operation and added some things under the hood. And then we went into the next major era in part two. And I thought the most interesting and most formidable and most controversial release was OS X Lion in 2011 because, as we know, it introduced autosave, tried to eliminate save as, created a huge amount of controversy. But on the other hand, it introduced major functions that we still use today, but we couldn't think of living without, like the recovery partition, FaceTime, AirDrop, File Vault, full disk encryption, the full screen app capability, mission control, application resume, multi-touch gestures on the Magic Trackpad on the MacBooks. So Lion was a major, very controversial release. And then we went through some cleanup phases again with Mountain Lion and Mavericks. Mavericks had some under-the-hood things with power management. But then Yosemite looks like it's going to be major. I think this is going to be the next big major release since Lion. We've got all sorts of things we've been craving for, things that solve real problems that we've been hungry for, iCloud Drive, making and receiving calls on our Mac, a dramatic improvement in the way we use Spotlight and Search and folding together a lot of things into the Search and AirDrop between the Mac and the iOS device. So we don't have to mail documents back and forth or use iTunes file sharing. So so that was the gist of it. And I sort of went through memory lane, recalling in my own mind what these major features were that stand out in our mind over the years. It was fun.
And those are all awesome features. And I'm so glad you wrote the two-part piece up, because there's so many really cool things over the years that have rolled into OS X. And many of those at the time were like, holy crap, this is so awesome. And today, they just feel like mundane features because they have become so ingrained in the way we do things on our computers that we don't even think about them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty much out of time. So, Kelly, how about you and I both toss out one of our favorite features of any version of OS X, and I will tell you right now that what I'm going to say, people are going to be like, really?
I was thinking the same thing about mine, because I still use Dashboard.
How interesting. Huh.
I have it's for one widget because I like it. And I haven't found a way to do it on my desktop except through this dashboard widget. So I have a dashboard widget that I like a lot. It's a package tracker from June Cloud. And they have a dashboard widget and they have an iPhone app. And when I want to look at it when I'm on my computer, I just switch to dashboard. So that's it. And I'm still one of those people who's upset about Save As, because I use that all the time. And I'm really unhappy about it.
Hold down the option key. Hold down the option key. It's back.
Oh. Yeah, it's sort of back. Yeah,
it's back the way old Coke is back. You know, not quite what it was, but as close as I'm ever going to get. So I should take it and like it. So yeah, that's mine. I'm really looking forward to a number of the things that are coming in Yosemite, and I think, like John, I think that this is going to be another one of those sort of momentous leaps in the gap between the old OS and the new OS. And we only really have two of those in OS X, and it's Lion, and then I think Mavericks or Yosemite. From Mavericks to Yosemite is going to be the next big one.
Yep, I'm thinking so too. All right, so my feature that just really stands out for me, Display PostScript, which goes way back, like to the beginning.
Oh, it does.
And yeah, it completely changed how I felt about viewing the documents that I was creating in professional page layout programs.
Now tell people what View PostScript is for people who aren't necessarily aware. Not everyone had an image writer.
Ah, that's true. Okay, so the whole Display PostScript thing, what it did was it turned our Macs into a full-on PostScript rendering engine. So everything that we were looking at on our screens was essentially PDF. And for those of you that just cringed, just kind of bear with me, because for everyone else, it just makes it easier. So it's basically turning everything on our display into PDF or PostScript, so that we had true rendering that accurately represented the documents that we were making professionally for print.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those of us in the printing and graphic design industry, that was just a godsend. For everyone else, they're like, hey, everything looks great, and I can use any font, and it just works. And it was a beautiful thing.
That leap was a huge leap for people who needed it. It was amazing.
And I was definitely one of those people.
And I want to add, I just want to tack on one of my regular features, because I didn't even think of this until you started talking about rendering PDFs. Save as PDF is, you know, from the print dialog, is probably the best thing that happened on OS X. That is one of those that we talked about earlier that, you know, at the time was just mind-blowing, that now you don't even think about. Like, it seriously didn't even occur to me until you started talking about rendering things as PDFs. And I went, oh, yeah, I do that all the time now.
It's something we take for granted.
Exactly.
Windows people never had.
when I started doing it, I was doing it because the printer we had, I couldn't print to initially at my house. And so I would whip out a PDF and then shoot it over to the PC that was hooked up to the printer, and then I could print things out that way. So I would ask my husband if he would, you know, could you print this for me? Here, let me send you a PDF. And then at some point he needed to send me a document, and I was like, just print his PDF. And it never even occurred to me that he was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't own Acrobat. And I'm like, oh yeah, you can't do that, and I can. Ha ha. So, but that's a thing that I use constantly, that, like, you know, like we were talking about, is not all that remarkable anymore. But between that and Quick Look,
yeah, that's a feature I use every day of my life. Quick Look.
That changes my that has changed like every single file workflow that I have, and
Quick
I
Look
love
is
it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Knowing full well that we could go on probably for hours talking about features we love,
yes.
I'm going to cut us off.
Okay.
And say
Slosson cut off. Are we going to the Slosson cut off?
Yes. Okay. And to our listeners, if you have favorite features that that you want to share with us, well, you can shoot me an email, or you can let us know on Twitter. And our Twitter account is TMO Daily. Mm-hmm. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Kelly and John, thank you so much for joining me today. As always, you guys rock.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.